My name is Nicholas Erf. I was born in 1927, the only child of middle-class parents who died when I was still in my teens. I wasted 2 years doing my national service, then went to Oxford, where I got a third-class degree and a first-class illusion that I was a poet. Like countless Oxford men before me, I turned to teaching. But in a minor public school in East Anglia, I quickly discovered I could not spend my life crossing such a Sahara. And the more I felt it, the more I felt also that the smug, petrified school was a toy model of England itself, and that to quit one and not the other would be ridiculous. I knew what I needed: a new land, a new race, a new language. And although I couldn't have put it into words then, I needed, above all, a new mystery.
I'm afraid all the really good posts are gone, Mr. Erf. Oh. At the moment, there's only this.
The Lord Byron School for Axis requires an assistant master to teach English.
The school is terribly well spoken of, though some people find Greece rather backward.
Backward sounds ideal to me. I'll take it.
Oh, I'll make the necessary overtures.
Wonderful. Perhaps I could take you out to lunch to celebrate, Miss Spencer Hay.
Oh, do call me Rowena.
I suppose I'd had, by the standards of 1953, a good deal of sex for my age. I was handsome enough, and more important, I had my orphan air of loneliness, which, as every womanizer knows, is a deadly weapon. The island of Fraxos lay 8 dazzling hours south of Athens. It took my breath away when I first saw it, floating like a majestic black whale in an amethyst sea. To begin with, there was something pleasantly absurd about teaching English in a Greek boarding school run on Eton and Harrow lines, but the boys cared nothing for literature and the routine was stultifying. So, with no company but my own boredom, I took to the hills. I would hike through the pine forest, over the central crest, to the south side of the island. Here there was absolute solitude, save for one deserted villa lost among the green froth of the pine tops. Irresistibly drawn to solve the mystery, I walked on towards the villa. There were 2 old cane chairs on the colonnade, and a table on which were 2 cups and saucers and 2 plates covered in muslin. Without warning, a figure appeared in the doorway. He was completely bald. He saw me without surprise, raised his hand briefly, then turned and called,
"Maria, our guest has arrived."
"I only came for a glass of water. My name is..."
"I know who you are, Mr. Erf. Let us have tea."
"Forgive me, Mr..."
"Conscious. Maurice Conscious. I prefer the CH soft."
"Mr. Conscious, how do you know who I am?"
"Fraxos is a small island. A new teacher, especially of English, is always a figure of some interest."
"You met my predecessor, I believe."
"John of Verrier."
"The one after him, Mitford."
"Captain Mitford. He made me ashamed to have English blood. Do you like my house? I designed it myself."
"It's beautiful. I envy you."
"It is I who envy you, Nicholas. Your discoveries are all before you."
"You live alone here, Mr. Conscious?"
"What some would call alone, what others would not. Come now, Prospero will show you his domain."
"Prospero had a daughter."
"Prospero had many things, Mr. Erf. Not all young and beautiful."
When I got to my bedroom, I undressed, then stood a moment by the open window. Then it came, faint at first, so barely perceptible I thought I must be imagining it. Men singing. Slowly it grew clearer until suddenly, incredibly, I recognized the tune, sung with dreamlike slowness, as if being sung out of the stars and crossing night and space to reach me. If I retained any doubt before, I knew it now. I had truly entered Prospero's domain.
"I admired the performance you laid on for me last night. Wonderful way to illustrate your story. I suppose you had loudspeakers in the trees. Very well. I won't mention it again. The last thing I want to do is offend you."
"I am not offended, Nicholas. And I do not ask you to believe. All I ask is that you pretend to believe. Now, you must tell me about this girlfriend of yours. She turned you down?
No, the other way round. She loved me, or said she did. Thank you. This is fantastic stuff.
It is raki from Chios. Very strong. I want to make you more receptive. Now, shall we begin our experiment? Clear your mind. Julie will not appear tonight. I want you to look at a certain star. Do you know Cygnus, the swan? That cross-shaped constellation directly above our heads.
You're going to hypnotize me. I warn you, I'm not a good subject. Someone tried at Oxford.
It is a harmony of wills, not a contest. Relax. Mm-hmm. Now, do you see the swan? Mm-hmm. To the left of it, you will find the very bright star known as Alpha Lyrae. Watch it closely. Relax all your muscles. Watch the star. You are tired. So you are relaxing. You're watching the star, that gentle star. White star.
Yes, you are relaxing.
One moment I was fully awake, and the next I was consumed by a strange illusion that I was not looking up at the star any longer, but down into space, as one looks down a well. I was watching the star, and the star was watching me. Then there came a wind on my face, and I realized that it was blowing on me from all directions at the same time. And then the wind became light, and this light was intensely pleasing. A mental sunbathing after a long, dark winter. I was having feelings that no language can describe. There was no meaning, only being. Then slowly, I saw the star again, as it simply was, hanging in the sky above. It was like walking through a door, going all around the world, then walking through the same door, but a different door. Then darkness. As I walked back to the school the next day, I tried to assess the experience. Why, though it was so beautiful, it also seemed so sinister. I saw how it had been done. There would have been some drug, some hallucinogen in the raki. I had a black plunge of shame and humiliation, of having been naked in front of conscious, of having been in his power. When Thursday night finally came and the school broke for half term, I hurried over to Barani again. But it was deserted, just as conscious had said it would be. I knew there was a midnight ferry. It meant sitting up all night in the scruffy saloon, but it gave me the Friday in Athens. A moment later, I was walking fast back down the path to the gate, and even then, at the last moment, I looked back towards the house and hoped against hope that someone might be beckoning to me. But there was no one there. And so, for want of any better plan, I embarked for Athens. And Alison.
In episode 1 of The Magus, Nick was played by Tom Burke and Conscious by Charles Dance, Lily by Hayley Atwell, and Alison by Anna Skellen. Margaret was played by Josie Taylor, Mitford by David Seddon, Melly by Chris Pavlo, and Rowena by Lindsay Ann Moffat. The harpsichord was played by Maggie Cole and the recorder by Martin Feinstein. The Magus was written by John Fowles and adapted by Adrian Hodges. The producer was Heather Lama.